Have you ever looked at an accident report and thought, "This didn't have to happen"? I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today, we're going back to two crashes that killed 346 people, grounded an entire fleet worldwide, and fundamentally changed the relationship between manufacturers, regulators, and the flying public. We're talking about the Boeing 737 MAX, and more than that, we're talking about what came after, because the story everyone remembers is the tragedy. The story that matters now is the systemic overhaul those tragedies forced into existence. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So let's set the stage. October 29th, 2018, Lion Air Flight 610 departs Jakarta. 13 minutes later, a Boeing 737 MAX 8 impacts the Java Sea. All 189 souls on board are lost. The world mourns. Boeing and the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, insist the aircraft is safe. Airlines keep flying it. Then, March 10, 2019, Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 departs Addis Ababa. 6 minutes after takeoff, the aircraft crashes. Another 157 lives gone. Same aircraft type, same phase of flight, same terrifying nose-down behavior the crew could not overcome. Within days, aviation authorities around the globe grounded the 737 MAX. And here's what was remarkable about that sequence. The FAA was not the first to act. China grounded it first, then Europe, then Canada. The FAA, which had certified the airplane, was among the last major authorities to issue the grounding order. That fact alone tells you something had gone deeply wrong. Here's what you need to know about what actually failed. At the center of both crashes was a system called the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or MCAS. Boeing designed MCAS to address a handling quality that emerged because of where the new, larger LEAP engines were mounted on the 737 airframe. Those engines sat further forward and higher on the wing than on previous 737 models. In certain flight conditions, that geometry could produce a pitch-up tendency. MCAS was supposed to nudge the nose down automatically to make the MAX feel like earlier 737s to the pilot. The problem was how it was implemented. MCAS relied on a single angle of attack sensor, one sensor on a system that could command significant nose down trim authority. If that sensor fed bad data, and in both crashes it did, MCAS would push the nose down repeatedly. The pilots could fight it, but the system would keep reactivating. And here's the part that should make every pilot listening uncomfortable. Many flight crews did not even know MCAS existed. It was not in their training. It was not prominently described in the aircraft manual. Boeing had argued to the FAA that MCAS operated in the background and did not require specific pilot awareness. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on that point. This wasn't just an engineering failure. It was a certification failure. And it was a cultural failure. Investigations revealed that Boeing had been allowed, over many years, to essentially oversee significant portions of its own certification process. The FAA had delegated more and more authority to Boeing's own employees through a system called Organization Designation Authorization, or ODA. In theory, this made sense. The manufacturer knows its airplane best. In practice, it created a situation where the people checking Boeing's work reported to Boeing, not to the FAA. The pressure to keep the program on schedule and on budget was enormous. The 737 MAX was Boeing's answer to the Airbus A320neo, and billions of dollars hung on getting it to market quickly. Congressional investigations later uncovered internal Boeing communications that were damning. Engineers joking about the airplane being designed by clowns supervised by monkeys. Test pilots expressing concern about MCAS behavior in the simulator. A culture where schedule pressure and cost targets influence safety decisions that should have been untouchable. Now, let's talk about what changed, because the changes have been sweeping, and they affect more than just Boeing. First, the aircraft itself. Before the MAX was allowed back in service, Boeing redesigned MCAS to use both angle of attack sensors instead of just one. The system can now only activate once rather than repeatedly. Its nose-down authority was reduced, and a disagree light that alerts pilots when the two angle of attack sensors show different readings was made standard on every airplane, not an optional upgrade. Think about that for a moment. A safety alert that tells you your flight-critical sensors disagree was originally an extra cost option. That alone tells you where priorities had drifted. Second, training. Every 737 MAX pilot now receives specific training on MCAS, including full motion simulator sessions. The FAA mandated this before the aircraft could return to commercial service. Airlines worldwide implemented enhanced training programs that went beyond the minimum requirements. Third, and this is the big one for the long term, the FAA fundamentally reformed how it certifies aircraft. In December of 2020, Congress passed the Aircraft Certification Safety and Accountability Act. This affects you if you care about how any airplane, not just the MAX, gets approved to fly. The law restricts how much of the certification process can be delegated to the manufacturer. FAA engineers now have more direct authority over safety-critical determinations. The administrator of the FAA must personally approve the head of the ODA unit at each manufacturer. There are new whistleblower protections for engineers who raise safety concerns, and the FAA gained authority to review and override manufacturer safety analyses in ways it previously could not. The international picture changed too. Before the MAX crashes, foreign aviation authorities largely accepted FAA certification as the gold standard. If the FAA said an airplane was safe, the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, Transport Canada, and others would typically follow without independent review. That era is over. EASA now conducts its own independent assessments of American-certified aircraft. So does China's Civil Aviation Administration. So does Transport Canada. The MAX grounding created a world where FAA certification, while still respected, is no longer automatically accepted as the final word. For those of us in general aviation, you might be wondering why an airliner story matters to the person flying a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee. Here's why. The certification reforms ripple through the entire system. The same FAA that certifies the 737 MAX certifies your engine, your avionics, your propeller. The cultural shift toward more rigorous independent oversight applies across the board. When the agency that keeps you safe has a credibility crisis, the reforms that follow touch every certificate holder. There's also a broader lesson about automation and the pilot's role. MCAS was, at its core, a system designed to act without the pilot's knowledge or input. The MAX crashes forced the entire industry to reconsider how we design the interface between automation and the human in the seat. When do you tell the pilot what the airplane is doing? When do you give the pilot the ability to override? These questions are not unique to the 737. They apply to every increasingly automated cockpit in service today. And they will become even more critical as we move toward higher levels of automation in future designs. Boeing itself went through a reckoning that is still ongoing. The company's leadership changed. Its chief executive was replaced. Its board of directors was restructured. The Department of Justice opened a criminal investigation, and Boeing eventually entered into a deferred prosecution agreement, admitting that two of its employees conspired to deceive the FAA. The financial toll ran into the tens of billions when you add up the grounding costs, compensation to airlines, settlements with victims' families, and the production halt. And here's something worth reflecting on. The 737 MAX returned to service. It's been flying passengers since late 2020 in the United States and progressively around the world since then. The modifications worked. The training worked. The airplane, as recertified, has operated safely. But the trust deficit lingered for years with passengers. Surveys showed that a significant percentage of travelers actively checked what aircraft type they were booked on and would rebook to avoid the MAX. That's an extraordinary thing. Commercial passengers rarely know or care what they're flying on. The MAX made them care. The families of the 346 people who died in those two crashes pushed relentlessly for accountability and reform. They testified before Congress, they met with regulators, they refused to let the story fade, and the legislation that now governs aircraft certification bears the imprint of their advocacy. That matters. Safety improvements in aviation have almost always been written in the aftermath of tragedy. But the speed and scope of the reforms following the MAX disasters were driven in large part by families who would not accept thoughts and prayers as a substitute for systemic change. So where does this leave us today? We have an aircraft certification system that is more independent than it was before 2018. We have international regulators who no longer defer automatically to the FAA. We have a manufacturer that learned at an unthinkable cost that schedule pressure cannot override safety engineering. And we have a flying public that became, for the first time in decades, actively aware that the process of declaring an airplane safe to fly is not infallible. The 737 MAX story is not really about one airplane or one system called MCAS. It's about what happens when the institutions we trust to keep aviation safe allow competing pressures to erode their core mission. And the reforms that followed are about rebuilding that trust. One certification, one inspection, one honest engineering call at a time. This one was sourced from Simple Flying's deep look at the safety failures that forced aviation to change. And it's a story worth revisiting periodically because the lessons are not historical. They are operational. They are current. That's ATIS for today. I'm Tower on Radio Hangar Fly Informed. And we'll talk again soon at RadioHangar.com.